Stay tuned for one of the most unusual and fascinating hours you'll ever hear. The subject is UFOs. Welcome to the Paranet UFO Continuum, a one-hour program dedicated to a very strange phenomena, unidentified flying objects. Whether or not you believe UFOs exist, the controversy is real, and this program will try to get to the bottom of it. Your host is Michael Corbin, director of Paranet Information Services, a global communications network based near Denver, Colorado, dedicated to the investigation of UFOs. We invite you to keep an open mind as we discuss one of the most fascinating and strange subjects in the world. Here's your host, Michael Corbin.
Good evening. The abduction case of the century, an abduction in 1988 in Manhattan, allegedly witnessed by a high-ranking UN official, Linda Napolitano is levitated out of her high-rise apartment window by the Greys. Amid as much, if not more, bickering as the infamous Gulf Breeze hoax, the case ranks right up there as either the case of the century or a grand hoax. My guest tonight is Jerry Clark, editor of the International UFO Reporter, the official publication of the Center for UFO Studies. And Jerry will talk about the Linda case, among other things. Jerry is author of many books, articles, and other things. He's a very interesting guest. Before we go on tonight, heroes of the U.S. military were celebrated this week as part of the 50th anniversary of D-Day. We'd like to pass along something from U.S. military history that you may not have heard before. U.S. General Douglas MacArthur once talked about the possibility of an interplanetary war in the future. He mentioned it in a 1962 farewell speech to the graduates of West Point Academy. Here's what he said.
Of the primary target in war, no longer limited to the armed forces of an enemy, but instead to include his civil population. Of ultimate conflict between the united human race and the sinister forces of some other planetary galaxy. Of such dreams and fantasies as to make life the most exciting of all time.
And there it is. General MacArthur talking about the next war would be a war with the sinister galaxy, extra galaxy people out there. I don't know. Okay. I guess what we're going to do now is we'll just go ahead and bring Jerry up. And Jerry, my guest tonight, Jerry Clark, as I've mentioned before, is the editor of the International UFO Reporter, the official publication for the Center for UFO Studies. Jerry is also the author of numerous books, including the UFO Encyclopedia and other paranormal books and articles. Jerry used to also write for Fate Magazine. I'm not sure if he still does or not, but he's just an excellent researcher, been around many, many years, worked closely with J. Allen Hynek, the founder of the Center for UFO Studies. And good evening, Jerry.
Hi, Mike. Good to be here.
Good to have you. Jerry, tell us a little bit about your background and, you know, where it all started for you.
Oh, it started for me a long time ago. I got interested in UFOs when I was a kid, when I read a book by a man who had been in charge of the Air Force's Project Blue Book, and he wrote a memoir, The Report on Unidentified Flying Objects, which was published in 1956 and remains one of the great classic works on the subject. And it was a sober, objective look at the evidence. There were a lot of nut books around. In fact, most UFO books are nut books.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that if I'd read one of those, I wouldn't really have been interested. I think I would have read that one of the silly books and thought, well, this is nonsense, and forgotten about it. But as it happened, I read one of the sensible books, and I think that's what hooked me. And that was about 35 years ago.
Okay. Tell us about your years with Hynek.
Well, I met Hynek, Dr. Hynek, who was for 20 years, the chief scientific advisor to Project Blue Book, and who was a head of the astronomy department at Northwestern University in Evanston, Illinois. I met him in 1970, early 1976, and I was investigating a UFO case that had taken place in North Dakota. And he came up, and it was an interesting case, and involved three different witnesses. It was a case where three people were traveling early one morning on an interstate highway going west, and they saw a number of brilliant lights in the sky, and the next thing they knew, it was an hour or two later, and they were sitting in a different configuration from the one they had been sitting in before this period of missing time. And under hypnosis, one of the women recalled an abduction experience. In those days, abduction claims were fairly rare. So Hynek was interested enough to fly up from Chicago.
Jerry, were they actually rare, or were they just not widely reported?
Well, they were rare as far as ufologists were concerned. We just, nowadays, I think, if anything, we have so many of them that we can tend to get jaded or suspicious. In those days, at least, they seemed rarer.
Okay.
And that's how I met him. And we hit it off. And later, I moved down to Chicago to work for Fate magazine. And I got to know Alan fairly well. And in 1984, he asked me to join the board of directors of the Center for UFO Studies and take over editorship of the International UFO Reporter, which was the Center for UFO Studies magazine, from him.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, I've been with the Center ever since. I'm now vice president, and I continue to edit the International UFO Reporter, or IUR, as we call it.
Which is a very, very good publication. And one thing I want to say, you know, not just because I've known you for many years, but the research that you've done is absolutely outstanding, and it's basically manifested in the encyclopedia series you've done.
Well, the encyclopedia series is something that I think is something that the field has lacked up until recently, and that is a real broad historical perspective. As you know, Mike, this whole thing started in 1947.
Mm-hmm.
There's an enormous lot of history since then, and with the passing of years, we've just kind of gotten buried in the vast amount of information that's generated by this. And I have elected to go through the history and sort it all out and try to figure out what happened, when did it happen, why did it happen, what consequence followed from that. And in doing that, you also discover all kinds of things that got overlooked at the time or whose significance wasn't apparent at the time. And there are all kinds of interesting cases and patterns and all sorts of things that are buried there. And anyway, I'm trying to bring those things to light in the books and hoping to give us a brand new perspective on what's happened to us and what we're facing.
Okay, why do you think, Jerry, that the you know, over the years, none of this has been done or done in such a way that was adequate or something that would be really as a useful research tool, you know, till now?
Well, I think that the average UFO enthusiast has the same historical sense of the average citizen, which isn't very much.
Uh-huh.
And I think that most people just don't really think about history or appreciate its significance or realize that it affects the way we live every day.
Okay. 1-800-836-2009, 1-800-UFO-2009. My guest is Jerry Clark, editor of the IUR for the Center for UFO Studies. We're going to take a break, Jerry, and we'll be right back. You're listening to the Paranet UFO Continuum. I'm Michael Corbin.
The Paranet UFO Continuum is pleased to offer a number of exciting products. Now available are cassette tapes of previous shows, available for $8 each, or two for $12, or four for $20. You can also order MyCap and Paranet BBS memberships, subscriptions to Continuum, Paranet's quarterly newsletter, as well as the UT1 UFO Tracker Kit, containing everything you need when you come across something unusual in the sky. Paranet and MyCap are also proud to offer a stunning black t-shirt with a background of galaxies, stars, and comets and the Paranet and MyCap logos, as well as a beautiful blue-green planet Earth. When you order from Paranet, you're also helping to keep this program on the air. So call now. To place an order or for more information, call 1-800-UFO-NET-1. That's 1-800-836-6381. Paranet, your window on the universe. At 1-800-836-6381. Pilots, When you fly, you need convenient, accurate information for safe flight and landing operations, as well as local businesses that can provide you with the services and treatment you deserve. The Skyway Publications Airport Directory and Entertainment Guides are what you need. These free pocket-sized guides give you information you need about large and small airports all over the country. Information like radio channels, runway systems, coordinates, and taxiways, as well as fuel and aircraft services provided at the airport, along with local businesses catering to private pilots. It's yours free. Ask the fixed space operator at your favorite stops to carry the Skyway Airport Directory and Entertainment Guides, or call area 303-669-1800. That's 303-669-1800. Skyway Publications, your ticket to safer, cheaper, and more convenient flight. Again, talk to the FBO at your favorite destinations or call Skyway Publications at 303-669-1800. UFOs for real, or are they just fiction? To find out, stay with us for more of the Paranet UFO Continuum with your host, Michael Corbin.
And we're back. 1-800-836-2009. 1-800-836-2009. My guest tonight is Jerry Clark, editor of the International UFO Reporter, the official publication of the Center for UFO Studies in Evanston, Illinois. Jerry, over the years we've seen a lot of different people come and go. What would you ascribe the, you know, I mean, my big problem is, you know, 1947 was the beginning of the modern era of ufology. You know, we've gone many years without really getting anything in the way of substantial answers. I know that the smoking gun has never been there, but, you know, we seem to just be chasing our tails. What do you attribute that to?
Well, I don't think that's entirely true. I mean, I know that there is a lot of frustration involved. But I don't think it's true that we haven't gotten anywhere. In fact, I think that if we hadn't gotten anywhere in the last 50 years, it just wouldn't simply have been worth it. But I think that we have learned things about the UFO phenomenon. We've gotten some sense of the patterns that it manifests in. We've gotten some sense of what landing and encounter reports are like. I think that we've, you know, learned some things about what the phenomenon does, what it doesn't do. I think we've also collected some pretty good evidence. And I'm not talking here about anecdotal testimony, some of which is quite interesting. But I'm talking about hard evidence, radar visual cases, landing trace cases where soil and vegetation samples have been analyzed in laboratories.
Mm-hmm.
I think that we have accumulated a body of good, solid, irreducible evidence.
What does it tell us about the phenomenon?
Well, I think it tells us that the phenomenon is technological.
Okay.
That it's a technology that isn't an earthly technology, that it is a technology that can interact with the Earth's environment. In other words, it can leave traces on the ground or on radar screens, that we're not dealing with apparitions,
okay,
that we're dealing with something that looks very much like a technology, and it isn't an earthly technology, so presumably it's somebody else's.
So you think it's possibly an extraterrestrial civilization?
I think that it's probably a number of different extraterrestrial civilizations.
Okay, so you think there's several different possibly races here, maybe.
I think that the extraterrestrial hypothesis in ufology begins with the assumption, which is held by a lot of astronomers who don't necessarily believe in UFOs, but who believe that extraterrestrial life exists. We begin with the proposition that the galaxy is fairly densely populated, that life is not an uncommon occurrence in the universe. We could have millions of intelligent civilizations, technological civilizations, in our galaxy alone. And so if you have that many, it is not unreasonable to believe that they could visit us.
Okay.
Right. And that a number of them could visit us because they would be traveling around the galaxy.
Now, how involved have you been in Kevin Randall and Don Schmidt's investigation into the Roswell incident?
I haven't been directly involved in the investigation as such, but I've closely monitored it and, read the relevant information and talked at length with Kevin and Don. I've met a couple of the Roswell witnesses.
Okay. All right. Do you believe, Jerry, that the government is hiding something from us?
Oh, I don't think there's any question. I think that what happened at Roswell was a really extraordinary event, and the evidence is very, very good. By now you have the testimony of literally hundreds of people, and a great body of interlocking testimony that's pretty consistent. I say pretty instead of entirely because we're dealing with memories that go back several decades. But nonetheless, a coherent picture emerges of two crash sites, one of which a great body of residue was left, and the other landing site where apparently bodies were found, and they were not bodies of human beings. Now, this story is absolutely incredible. It's fantastic. When you're dealing with something as fantastic as this, you need a lot of evidence. And I think that Randall and Schmidt have done a good job of ferreting out that evidence.
I agree. Do you think that the cover-up now, is it basically, some people say the government is actually doing the cover-up, the government proper. Some other people say that it's a covert, shadow-type government. Do you have any kind of a feel for that?
Well, when you say the government, I mean, the government is...
Well, like the Air Force or the Navy or...
Yeah, no, but I think the way a cover-up like this would be maintained, it would be compartmentalized to the extreme. In other words, the smallest number of people possible would know about it. Everybody who knew about it would have a need to know. And even those who knew about it may not know everything about it. They just may know the one thing they need to know.
That, of course, could in its own way aspire to even a shadowy type thing. It would seem to me that kind of thing could leave a lot of doors open for some type of abuse of power even.
Oh, I think so. In fact, I'm sure there are abuses of power associated with it because, for example, if a UFO buff who's investigating something like the Roswell case goes around saying that he thinks his phone is tapped or that somebody's monitoring his mail, well, nobody's going to take him seriously because, after all, he's a UFO buff, and we all know UFO buffs are just nuts. And, in fact, this has happened historically. Abuses of intelligence agency abuses have traditionally occurred to fringe groups. For example, in the early 1980s, there were, left-wing groups that were opposed to the Reagan administration policy in Latin America. And these people claimed that their phones were tapped, their mail was monitored, and so on and so on. And everybody said, wow, these people are just fringe people. They're paranoid. Turned out that they were exactly right. This was going on. This sort of thing happens all the time.
But nobody takes any responsibility for it.
Well, when you target fringe groups, these groups are powerless because people don't take them seriously and just have them pegged as paranoid nuts. So, there could be that kind of abuse going on. Now, I don't have any direct evidence of it, but it is certainly theoretically possible.
I would imagine so, too. The problem for me, Jerry, is trying to draw the line between what would be considered, legitimate intelligence gathering and, somebody that would cross the line and actually try to interfere or, oppress or suppress the investigation of this type of stuff. But yet there is an indication that something is, being done to cover it up. As far as the Roswell case, the crash of the UFO in the desert in 47, as far as I'm concerned, the evidence is there from what I have seen and been able to glean from the books and things, that the evidence is there that something did happen out there in the desert. But, just like the Congressman Schiff in New Mexico trying to get the GAO to issue a report, he has even stumbled upon a barrier. And this seems to be commonplace.
Well, the kind of abuse that went on in 1947, which was testified to by a goodly number of people who were directly or indirectly involved with the incident, whether they were military people or civilian people who just happened to live in the area where it happened, people reported that they were threatened. Their lives were threatened. Even the lives of their children were threatened. And, of course, there's no evidence that anybody was actually suffered physical harm, but just simply the act of issuing those kinds of threats is an abuse of power.
Well, look, what happened to the nurse in the Roswell case, the nurse that Glenn, I believe it was Glenn Dennis, the one that drew him the picture of what she had seen in the infirmary,
mm-hmm.
You know, they've never been able to find her. Now, I mean, I'm not saying that that's mysterious in and of itself, but according to the testimony of Glenn Dennis and others who have been investigating it, she seems to have never existed.
Yes, this was a nurse who claimed that she had been involved in the initial autopsies of the bodies that were recovered at the site.
Right.
Well, I think that's something that is being investigated. I'm a little reluctant to talk about it. I think I probably know a little bit more about it than I can say over the air.
Okay.
But it is something that's being investigated.
Okay. 1-800-836-2009, 1-800-UFO-2009. My guest tonight is Jerry Clark, editor of the IUR, the official publication for the Center for UFO Studies. When we come back from our break, we'll talk about abduction cases, and one that I know that Jerry's written quite a bit about, and that's the Linda Napolitano case in New York. So we'll be back after our break, so sit tight, and we will continue. This is Michael Corbin, and you're listening to the Paranet UFO Continuum.
Get the latest UFO news delivered right to your door with Continuum, the official quarterly publication of Paranet Information Services. Continuum offers a serious look at the world of ufology through hard news reports and interesting and provocative interviews with leading ufologists and investigators. There's a source and resource section to help you locate information on UFOs, plus much, much more. Each issue is also packed with information from the Paranet Information Services International Communications Network. So be informed with this comprehensive publication. Subscribe now and receive 5 issues for the price of 4. Send check or money order for $18 to Continuum, Box 172, Wheat Ridge, Colorado, 80034. That's Continuum, Box 172, Wheat Ridge, Colorado, 80034. Do it now.
October 14th, 1987. A small child has been lost in an abandoned well in Midland, Texas.
Jessica.
Minutes become hours. The entire country waits and hopes and prays. No country comes to the aid of a child the way we do. Yet today, millions of children are being lost. Lost in an education system unable to prepare them for today's competitive world. But the real tragedy is that a lot of these children will never live up to their promise. The world is changing. America is changing. And more schools have to change to keep up. Imagine if the same effort that went into saving that child in Texas went into keeping the promise that every child in America gets the best education so that every child can have a future. Call 1-800-96-PROMISE for information on changing the schools in your community. A message from the Education Excellence Partnership and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Paranet UFO Continuum. Whether or not you believe in UFOs, there's a lot about the subject you haven't heard. Stay tuned. Keep an open mind. Call in and join the discussion. Once again, here's your host, Michael Corbin.
And we continue with my guest, Jerry Clark, the editor of the International UFO Reporter, the official publication of the Center for UFO Studies. 1-800-836-2009 is the number. 800-UFO-2009. Folks out there, this man is the encyclopedia of UFOs. If you have any questions you want to ask of our guest tonight, this is the guy to ask. Right, Jerry?
I hope so. In fact, before we go any further,
yeah.
I want to put in a plug for
okay.
the book by Kevin Randall and Donald Schmidt. It's uh-huh. called The Truth About the UFO Crash at Roswell. It's a hardcover book. It's available in your local bookstore. I think that when we talk about this subject just briefly on the air, it's hard for people to appreciate just what an enormous body of evidence there is for this case.
We actually had Kevin, I think it was on the second or third show that we did. He came on and talked about that stuff. An hour is just not long enough to do it.
Right. These guys have spent several years investigating this, interviewing hundreds of people, everybody from local ranchers and newspaper reporters who were at the site in 1947 up to Air Force generals. Mm-hmm. And you have to read the book to really appreciate what a case they've made for this extraordinary event.
And, of course, it's still going on, too, isn't the investigation
the
is still
investigation
ongoing?
The investigation continues, new developments all the time.
Uh-huh. Yeah, say the name of the book again,
The Truth About the UFO Crash at Roswell by Kevin Randall and Donald Schmidt.
Okay. Now, going on, discussing that a little bit more, Jerry, the Roswell investigation has been pretty much endorsed. Kevin and Don both are affiliated with the center, right?
Right, yes. There's a project of the Center for UFO Studies.
Okay, all right. Now, let's move on to the abduction stories. As you mentioned at the top of the hour when you came in, the abduction cases were not widely known or widely discussed in the early years. Now we seem to be inundated with the reports. What do you think is going on with that?
Well, I think that, for one thing, we have far too many reports for them all to be credible. I think that what we're seeing is, in recent years, in fact, specifically since 1987, when Whitley Strieber's Communion was a best-selling book and really brought the abduction phenomenon and all the elements of it into popular view, I think that people really have a sense of what the abduction phenomenon was like. Before, it was something that was basically known just to ufologists and to people that had the experience.
Now, the Roper poll, which was in 1990, I believe, 91, polled several people and determined that there was a large percentage of the population, potentially, that might have had an abduction experience. Now, you just said that you don't think that the numbers are that great.
Oh, no. I think that poll was poorly done, and I think that the conclusions drawn from it were unwarranted.
Okay.
I think what's happening is that we have a lot of people who, have anxieties or downright clinical paranoia. And there was a time when the image of, for example, Russian spies was out there in popular culture.
Mm-hmm.
So the people who had paranoid fears and fantasies tended to focus on Russian spies. Didn't mean there were no Russian spies. It just meant that there weren't nearly as many as the reports would suggest.
Uh-huh.
Something of the same may be going on with the abduction phenomenon, that we may have a core of some thousands of interesting and enigmatic reports for which there is some circumstantial evidence that something really interesting happened. And then you have a larger body of reports that are just simply fantasy. I think that they're fantasy in the same way that stories about satanic ritual abuse are fantasy.
Okay. So do you think that there's a good possibility that there could be some pathology that could attribute for the large number of reports?
Well, there actually, is some preliminary evidence for that. There was a study done 2 or 3 years ago. It was published in the Journal of UFO Studies, which is also published by the Center for UFO Studies. And there was a study done of a population of 20 abductees, and turned out that some of these abductees emerged as sane, sensible, normal by all indications. And then there was another distinct cluster of people mm-hmm. who gave every indication of mental abnormalities. I think that you could take that investigation further. It opens us up to, you know, further hypothesis testing. One hypothesis you could test is that the cases that occur to people who appear to be mentally normal are more likely to give the indication of being objective events. In other words, there could be independent evidence, other witnesses, and so on. Whereas the people with the mental pathology, these would tend to be events where they were the only participant and there was no independent evidence. In other words, these incidents or these claims would give the appearance of being subjective experiences.
Okay. So what you're saying then is essentially, do you feel, Jerry, that these represent some type of a physical abduction or possibly something else?
Well, there are some of the cases that really are intriguing, you know, where there's mm-hmm. You have multiple witnesses, you have, you know, a certain degree of physical evidence, unexplainable marks on the witness's body. You might even have, you know, landing traces that can be investigated, looked at in the laboratory. You may have independently observed UFO sightings that seem to correlate with the abduction. So you get it's never anything but circumstantial evidence. There's no hard evidence.
Mm-hmm.
What you get, even in the best cases, is only suggestive. But it's still interesting. It still is not easily reducible to conventional explanations.
Now, Dr. Hynek resisted, for probably good reason, I'm sure, but he did kind of resist the abduction stories, didn't he?
I don't really think so.
Okay.
I didn't really see much evidence of that. He kind of was intrigued by them and went along with them. I think that if he died in 1986, I think that if he were alive today, he would probably conclude, as others of us have, that abductions have really become an obsession and that people are making exaggerated claims and going farther than the evidence, which is somewhat fragile.
Yeah, he was quite a balanced researcher, I thought.
Yes, he was, although I think in his later years, he went into some more kind of exotic theories, which made some of us uncomfortable, but he was for the bulk of his career, he was a trained scientist. He was a respected astronomer who had many accomplishments in his field, and in fact he was a UFO skeptic for many years until finally he just simply couldn't deny the evidence anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very interesting. 1-800-UFO-2009. 1-800-836-2009. My guest tonight is Jerry Clark, editor of the IUR. And we're going to go to another break, and when we come back, we'll continue. You're listening to the Paranet UFO Continuum, and I'm Michael Corbin.
The Paranet UFO Continuum is pleased to offer a number of exciting products. Now available are cassette tapes of previous shows, available for $8 each, or 2 for $12, or 4 for $20. You can also order MyCap and Paranet BBS memberships, subscriptions to Continuum, Paranet's quarterly newsletter, as well as the UT1 UFO Tracker Kit, containing everything you need when you come across something unusual in the sky. Paranet and MyCap are also proud to offer a stunning black t-shirt with a background of galaxies, stars, and comets and the Paranet and MyCap logos, as well as a beautiful blue-green planet Earth. When you order from Paranet, you're also helping to keep this program on the air. So call now to place an order, or for more information, call 1-800-UFO-NET-1. That's 1-800-836-6381. Paranet, your window on the universe. At 1-800-836-6381.
This is Fred Hayes. In 1970, I was a lunar module pilot for Apollo 13. During that mission, an onboard explosion caused us to abort our lunar landing. Our safe return home involved many workarounds. It underlined how important the human element is to space exploration. The space station is America's next step in manned space flight. If we're not careful, however, that important program could be canceled. $7 will be returned for every dollar spent on the effort. That's quite an important investment for the future and to provide knowledge essential to the future of spaceship Earth. Some experts say that without the space station, we will have no manned space program. That would be a tragedy for our nation and a retreat from the progressive achievements of the past three decades. For information on how you can support the space station, call 1-800-84-SPACE. That's 1-800-84-SPACE.
This is the Paranet UFO Continuum, a weekly program dedicated to the mysterious and fascinating world of UFOs. If you're interested in learning more about Paranet, the world's foremost communications network dealing with the UFO phenomena, call us at area 303-429-2654 or write to Box 172, Wheat Ridge, Colorado, 80034. Once again, here's your host, Michael Corbin.
And we continue with my guest tonight, Jerry Clark, editor of the International UFO Reporter. And Jerry, now let's move on to the Linda Napolitano case. I know you've been involved. You've written several articles about the ongoing, I guess you could call it a war, similar to some of the stuff we saw with the Gulf Breeze case. Got two divergent sides, and everybody's got they're strongly entrenched on each side. What do you feel is going on with the Linda Napolitano case?
Well, as you indicated earlier, it's a case of a woman who claims to have been abducted out of the window of her Manhattan apartment in the middle of the night, and supposedly the event was independently witnessed by at least several people at different locations, but within visible range of the building, and that one of the individuals was a high-ranking international diplomatic figure.
Is his name out of the bag now, or is that name public?
Well, it certainly has been published.
Okay.
And, but...
Can you say who it is?
Well, I suppose since it's been published, I can say who it is. It's Perez de Cuellar, who was at one time head of the United Nations.
Okay.
A Peruvian diplomat. And anyway, this is an incredibly complicated, entangled mess. It actually reminds me more of a mystery story in the sense of a detective novel.
Oh, sure. Mm-hmm.
Than a UFO case. It is just mind-bogglingly complex. And there's a group of people who have sought to debunk the case and made a number of claims about problems with the testimony, and made the claim, which I don't find particularly believable, that Linda Napolitano masterminded this extremely complicated hoax.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it is possible to take a position between the believers and the debunkers. I think that I don't really know what happened here. It's very hard to figure out exactly what this is about. It is, as I say, complicated beyond reason. There is nothing clear-cut about it. I am confident, however, and I say this not very happily, mm-hmm. that we will never really know what happens. That cases that get as complicated as this and make claims as extreme as these are just inherently unprovable.
It certainly is one that does have a lot of strange intrigue features built into it. For example, wasn't she kidnapped by someone who claimed to be a government agent? It turns out later the guy was just a wacko or something?
No. It's never really been established.
Okay.
Who the guy was or if he even exists. These people, these two men who claim to be security personnel involved in protecting diplomatic figures, exist only as people who've written letters to Bud Hopkins, who is the chief investigator of this case and the chief proponent of the case. And they have claimed in these letters that they witnessed this event and so on, but Bud has never been able to meet them. He has never been able to identify them with any certainty. They exist only as first names. Linda claims to have encountered them and to have, you know, have seen them and interacted with them, and at one point they grabbed her supposedly and took her in a car for a car ride against her will, which I guess technically qualifies as kidnapping. I don't really know what to make of this. I think that it is just something that I've coined this term to describe things that seem to be told by people who are sincere and sane, but that are just simply beyond belief, and yet seem the person who believes that he or she has had this experience seems to hold that conviction sincerely. I call these things experience anomalies as opposed to anomalous events. Anomalous events are things that you can prove or collect evidence happened in the consensus reality. In other words, an anomalous event would be someone saying that he'd seen a UFO land, and then later on you could go to the spot, you could find the burn marks, and you could take them to the laboratory and document strange effects from this. But an experience anomaly exists only as someone's memory and testimony of something that is just simply utterly fantastic and inherently unprovable. And I think that the Linda case may be just one of those things where people seem to believe they've had experiences that are just simply not believable.
Is there anything else about her or the case itself that makes it more believable to, say, Bud Hopkins, who's Bud's the primary researcher on this, right?
Right. Now, Bud Hopkins is writing a book on this, and one day this book will be out, and we'll have the whole story and all the evidence that he has accumulated that has convinced him that this is a real event. And so there are a number of circumstantial facts and quasi-facts that he has collected that are interesting. But Bud is also convinced, and I tend to agree with him on this, having met Linda myself, that she simply doesn't have the intellectual equipment to put together this complicated hoax. One possibility, again unprovable, is that it's somebody else's hoax, that this could be some kind of weird setup by some people with some money and sophistication and disinformation and psychological warfare techniques.
That's a very interesting theory, and I think you're probably really close to my feeling about it, too.
Right. The problem is, of course, how do you prove that? You know?
Well, that you don't. Not necessarily that you don't, but you just be very, very careful about the information that you take in.
Exactly.
1-800-UFO-2009, 1-800-836-2009. My guest is Jerry Clark. He is the editor of the International UFO Reporter, the official publication of the Center for UFO Studies. And Jerry, you also edit the journal too, don't you?
No, the Journal of UFO Studies is edited by Michael Swords, who is a professor of natural sciences at Western Michigan University. It's now edited, the next issue from now on will be edited by Stuart Appel, who's a psychologist in the State University of New York system.
Okay. We're going to go to another break, and when we come back, we're going to ask the expert, Jerry, what people should do if they see a UFO or are abducted. You're listening to the Paranet UFO Continuum. I'm Michael Corbin, and we will continue in just a moment.
Paranet Information Services is your electronic window on the world of UFOs, accessible by computer and modem. Paranet keeps you up to date on the world pulse of ufology, with sighting reports, interesting findings, and general discussion on the mysterious UFO enigma. Paranet features one of the most comprehensive text file libraries in the world on the paranormal, available for a small online fee. So plug into power and knowledge through Paranet. The BBS number is available 24 hours a day. Call the data line at area 303-429-2713. That's 303-429-2713. Or for more information, contact Paranet Information Services at area 303-429-2654. That's 303-429-2654.
pilots. When you fly, you need convenient, accurate information for safe flight and landing operations, as well as local businesses that can provide you with the services and treatment you deserve. The Skyway Publications Airport Directory and Entertainment Guides are what you need. These free pocket-sized guides give you information you need about large and small airports all over the country. Information like radio channels, runway systems, coordinates, and taxiways, as well as fuel and aircraft services provided at the airport, along with local businesses catering to private pilots. It's yours free. Ask the fixed space operator at your favorite stops to carry the Skyway Airport Directory and Entertainment Guides, or call Area 303-669-1800. That's 303-669-1800. Skyway Publications, your ticket to safer, cheaper, and more convenient flight. Again, talk to the FBO at your favorite destinations or call Skyway Publications at 303-669-1800.
Okay, we're going to take a quick call from Brother John in Santa Cruz, listening on KNRY. Good evening, brother.
Yes, hello. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I have a question
for
your guest.
Okay, go ahead.
It's regarding the book, The October Scenario.
Uh-huh.
Is your guest familiar with the book?
Is it Karen Randall book?
I believe it is.
Yes.
In that book, if I remember the premise correctly, he was saying that he believed the only time we were ever really visited by genuine extraterrestrials was, I believe it was in 1 month in October, forget the year.
1973. Yes. Kevin Randall no longer believes that.
He does not?
No.
No, okay. I was just wondering if you had ever talked to him about what sort of led him to that conclusion.
Well, I think that it was one of those things. I know what it's like as a writer. Something seems like a good idea at the time, and then you write it down, you get it published, and later on you wonder, why did I think that? I think that was with Kevin. It was a good idea at the time.
Yeah, it seemed kind of strange to me. You know, the field had been going on for almost 30 years of data. To come to a conclusion like that was kind of surprising to me. Yeah. Okay, well, thank you very much. You cleared up a mystery, the long-standing mystery of mine.
Great. Thanks for your call.
All right. Bye now.
Bye-bye. Okay, Jerry.
Yes.
What should people do if they see a UFO? Do you got any advice on this or tips on what they do if they've seen a UFO or if they have been abducted? Or if they think they've been abducted?
Well,
besides call the police.
You could call the police, though the police don't seem to be much help
in
these circumstances. But I think that one thing you could do is contact the Center for UFO Studies.
Okay.
The address is 2457 West Peterson Avenue, Chicago, Illinois, 60659. Or call us at 312-271-3611.
3611. Okay. All right. You got any books on you got any more books coming out?
Well, I have a book that's out in the bookstores now. It's doing pretty well. It's called Unexplained. And it's a trade paperback, in other words, a quality paperback book.
Mm-hmm.
And it's doing well. It's getting good reviews. People are getting some nice letters from people. It covers the broad range of physical anomalies, everything from ball lightning to UFOs to Loch Ness Monster in, I think, a unique and responsible way. It's been in the Book of the Month Club and the Quality Paperback Book Club, and I think your listeners would find it interesting.
Okay. Speaking on that, you know, the other aspects of the paranormal, do you feel that there are other things that are linked into this, like, you know, poltergeist activity and that kind of thing? Does it have a connection?
I don't really consider myself a paranormalist. I consider myself an anomalist. I'm more interested in physical phenomena where there's some chance of making some kind of scientific progress and understanding within, you know, the current scientific paradigm.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that ghosts and poltergeists and things like that are related to UFO phenomena. I think we're dealing with hardware and flesh and blood controlling intelligences.
Do you think we're going to see any forthcoming answers in the near future?
Well, we can always hope. I think we're making progress. I think that there are good people working in this field and working hard. And I think that we'll see progress. It may not come in a quantum leap, but it happens incrementally.
Mm-hmm. One quick question, Jay. I wanted to ask you something to clear up something for me. Have there been any implants recovered?
Yes.
Okay, and what has been the results of any testing or anything that's been done on them? What do we know about them?
Well, it all just ends sort of ambiguous. You know, there's no way to prove that these are devices from another solar system. They generally seem to be made of materials known on the Earth, and so it's just not possible to draw any particular conclusion about them. They certainly, nothing that anybody's found so far has, you know, confirmed the abduction hypothesis.
Okay. All right. Well, Jerry, listen, it's time for the top of the hour, and I want to thank you very much for being our guest on the Paranet UFO Continuum tonight.
Well, thanks for having me, Mike. It's been fun.
Yeah, it has, and thank you very much, and we'll talk to you later.
Okay, take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, that wraps up the program for us tonight. Next week, our guest is going to be Father Alexei Young. He's an Orthodox priest. Now, this is kind of an interesting show that we're going to do. He is going to talk about his own experiences and research into UFOs. And he's going to give us an idea of where he is coming from and what he thinks it is. Now, you don't want to, this is a program you will not want to miss. And in an upcoming edition of the program, we're going to have Professor Stanley McDaniel. He is going to talk about his reports that he did on the loss of the Mars Observer. Is there a connection to UFOs? We're going to explore all of that in upcoming programs. So, for the Paranet UFO Continuum, I want to thank you for joining us this evening. We will see you next week at the same time. And in the meantime, be sure and contact us if you have any questions at 303-429-2654. That's 303-429-2654. Until next week, this is Michael Corbin telling you to keep your eyes on the skies. Good night.